In this episode of Shark Week, we travel to the lost coast of Rhode Island in search of the elusive Sharkinator. Will it be nothing but flesh and blood, or perhaps a little romantic chemistry? Stay tuned as the Beer Coasters Podcast presents Shark Week. Listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coaster.
Hi, my name is Peter Zion. I'm the owner of Alesmith Brewing Company here in beautiful San Diego, and Beer Coasters rocks.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coaster.
Blah, 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 I'm a beer, damn it!
Hello and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, episode 312, season 7. An entirely... season 7?
Season 8.
Wait a second.
Ooh, we didn't change that
yet. Wait a second.
Yet.
Who updated this script? Oh, update it right
season
now.
Season 8, there you go.
Hey, welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast.
Hey,
what's going on? Episode 312, Season 8, an entirely self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the bestest and the worstest in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
That's from coastest sure to coastest.
With the mostest. Make sure you stop by beercoasterspodcast.com. You can subscribe to the show in iTunes and Stitcher. And while you're on iTunes, hey, might as well just throw in a little five-star rating.
That's right.
I am your host, Beer Coaster Tony, and from Hartford, Connecticut. And joining me is...
This is Toby in San Diego, California.
What's happening, Toby?
What's up? No Mike this week. I think this is maybe the second time Mike has not made an appearance on the show in all 7 years of doing the show.
Beer Coasters off Mike.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
No.
Let's take a moment.
I think he's afraid of sharks. Maybe that's why.
Is that it?
Yeah,
is that why?
He has a fear of sharks.
Well, that's ironic because this week's theme is Shark Week.
Well, and it's,
so we have all beer and it's, beers tonight.
That, it's good that he,
you know,
that he's not
if
here.
If he's going to miss a show, it should be this one. So tonight's beers are shark-themed. For our fermentation conversation, Toby and I will be drinking from the same brewery. I have something, both from Dogfish Head. Tonight, I will be drinking the Flesh and Blood IPA. Fairly new from the brewery. I think it might be their newest one that's out on the market. And Toby, you have a Dogfish brewery beer as well. What are you drinking tonight?
I do. I have Romantic Chemistry, because what says Shark Week like Romantic Chemistry, right? I mean, Flesh and Blood, hey. Of course, yeah. But
I mean, it's a Dogfish.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like a shark, right?
Oh yeah, it is a shark.
Right. So,
and you know, Shark Week, you want to snuggle up on the couch with your significant other and watch people getting attacked by sharks. And
who doesn't want to do
right.
that? Snuggle up right in the old chaise lounge, kick your feet up, crack a little Dogfish, watch a little Shark Week.
That's right.
So here you go. All right. And you have something else you're drinking tonight. Is that right?
I do. For my local beer, I am trying Lost Coast Brewing Company's Sharkinator.
Nice. I'll be drinking, for those that are fans of that movie with the big shark, known as Jaws, I'll be drinking the old classic Narragansett Lager from Narragansett, Rhode Island. But the catch is, it's not just the old Narragansett Lager can. They, about 2 years ago, decided to bring back the vintage 1975 can that was seen on the movie. Drank by the captain, Captain Quint. So we'll be bringing that on the show tonight as well.
Sweet.
There it is. All right. Well, shall we jump right into it?
Let's jump into it. We got two different beers for one fermentation conversation. So we'll see how this goes. We've done it before, but we'll try not to get it too confusing to the listener. But if you're watching us live on YouTube, then it's a little easier for you.
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Cracking it. Oh, you can give the stats on your beer, and I'll give the stats.
You go first? All right. Let's call it up here. All right, the Flesh and Blood IPA. I said it was from the Dogfish Head Brewery. Dogfish Head is out of Milton, Delaware. Their website is dogfish.com. The style of beer for the Flesh and Blood is an IPA. ABV is 7.5. IBUs is only 45, so a low little IPA there. It was released in July 2016. As far as the ingredients go, they say that the blood comes from blood oranges. And let's see, they have hops, Warrior, Centennial, and a rare experimental hop.
Ooh.
So that's, yeah. Keep you on the edge of your seat there. Flesh and Blood balances the resinous hoppy characteristics of an American IPA with explosive zesty fruitiness and subtle dryness, tartness of citrus to deliver a highly quaffable... Listen, Crazy Dave. Shush. That is incredibly unique and lovely to down the whole year round. Yeah, actually, there are new offerings year round, so it's not just a summer thing.
Oh, okay. But right. It's just the one of the latest in their lineup.
Yeah, the one, lemon flesh and blood orange juice. There you go.
And
there's my stats.
My beer, The Romantic Chemistry, is actually a summer seasonal, but it is new this year. It's part of their seasonal art series, and you can find out about the artist who does the labels at dogfish.com. This is 7.2% ABV, 40 IBUs. Oh, Romantic Chemistry is an IPA. Sorry. It's an IPA brewed with manho, which it says on their website, manho, apricots, and ginger. I think they meant mango.
What'd you call me?
It's mango, apricot, and ginger. So there you go.
Nice. All right. The pour there looks... They actually look fairly similar in color.
Yeah, it's a little on the darker side for an IPA. It's kind of a light copper color.
I don't know if people can see this on the camera, but every now and again you'll get an IPA glass that has an etching like right in the bottom.
Right.
And people probably wonder why that is. And there's this like blast of like carbonation that's coming. I don't know if people can see that. Probably not. It's just like firing up the middle, and it's because of the laser etching in the bottom of the glass is releasing all these, releasing the gas that's in the beer, so it helps it like breathe and like open up.
Yeah.
But a lot of these IPA glasses will have that in the bottom.
Especially the Dogfish IPA glass right there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I am. Hashtag appropriate glassware. mine's like a little ruby, kind of like a red hue. Darker, maybe like an amber red hue.
Yeah, it looks pretty pink from my end.
Yeah. It had about a half a yeti finger of head when it first poured, and it's kind of dissipated. I can see the top of the beer from up here. It's not, the head is basically dissipated at this point.
Yeah, I'm down to like a, it's a little bit a thicker film. It's got some nice lacing happening.
Good lacing, though. Yeah, definitely. All right, on the nose.
Whoa, I just poured the rest of the bottle in there, and I got some...
Schmutz? Ooh, that is a thick...
Yeah. It's got a lot of...
That is what you call flavor crystals.
A lot of sediment just went in the glass. So I'm going to let that churn a little bit.
All right, you churn that. I'm going to smell this.
Whew.
Yeah, you get that tart... orange, blood orange smell.
I'm going to let you, here's how we'll do it. I'll let you do the nose And then I'll go to, when you're done, then I'll go to the nose, just so we're not like
nose
all over
nose,
the place.
Nose, taste.
Yeah, yeah,
finish,
yeah.
Finish. All right. East Coast nose. A little bit of like lemon zest kind of on the nose as well. Kind of a citrusy punch. Not a whole lot of hop. I think that it's kind of a, like a fruit dominant sort of smell going on. Maybe a little grassiness, but not a whole lot. It's, I mean, with something as pungent as like blood orange and lemon, those are pretty strong citrusy flavors and smells. So, understandably so. To the nose, back to you in the studio.
Mine's, I got a little bit of like, a little bit of dankiness and some like a little perfumey. I get some floral notes. I mean, it's really aromatic. There's a, yeah, I'm, it's crazy. It's almost like rose petals.
Hmm.
I get a little bit.
Sounds.
A little bit of fruit.
Perfumey rose petals.
Yeah.
It sounds romantic.
I do get a little bit of the mango. But yeah, that's kind of it. Yeah. Nice and a little bit of earthiness. To the shacks.
All right, let's do it. Salud.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Blood orange is not a flavor that you see a lot of. Maybe, I don't know if it's because of expenses or what, but you can tell because out of the different beers that we've had, you get, like, sometimes you get, like, orange, like, regular orange, like, or, you know, peach or mango or pine. I'm getting a little bit of pineapple. This one is blood orange, and that's a different kind of citrus flavor. It's tart, and that could be I could be a turnoff for some people. I can see, you know, it's a unique kind of flavor. I am kind of on the, I like sour beers, and I wouldn't call this a sour beer, but it has that tart quality that I kind of gravitate towards. Even though this is a year round beer. I mean, it's kind of hot in the condo right now, so this is actually pretty refreshing.
Now, is blood orange kind of rare for the East Coast? Because I've seen quite a few, actually, like wheat beers or wit beers out here that use blood orange. I've seen it in quite a few beers.
Oh, really?
Out here, yeah. So I was, when you said it being like, you know, maybe more expensive or whatever, is it, so you don't see much?
I mean, I've had blood oranges. They're definitely from, I mean, I've seen them around here, but, you know, if I had a wall of IPAs or a wall of beers at the liquor store, there might be, out of the 50 that are on the shelf, maybe 4 that have blood oranges in there.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I walked by another one today. I can't remember. I want to say maybe it was Duclaw, it might have been, from, I think they're from Baltimore. And I know there's like one called Great, I'm screwing up the name. It's like Great South or South Brewing or something like that. They have a blood orange one as well. That's a pale ale. The thing that I like about this is that because the style is an IPA, it has that you have the zestiness of the blood orange that's kind of playing well with the citrus qualities of the hops. The first sip is reminding you that this is a blood orange IPA, and once your taste buds kind of adjust to that, I feel like you can kind of sense more of the balance with the hops and the citrus qualities to it. Yeah, this is something that I could see drinking in the summertime, especially on a hot day. What do you think? How's yours?
Well, the romantic chemistry, it has like a, I don't, almost like a mealiness to it. It's like very, it's not, it doesn't have like an IPA type of bite. There is a little bit of the bitterness that you get, but there's also some honey, and it's a little more on like the smooth, creamy side. So there's not like a whole lot of, it doesn't smack you in the face with a lot of hops. I don't really get any of the ginger, and I do get some of the mango and a little bit of the apricot, but there is this, the floral that I got on the nose is sort of coming through on the flavor too, but then I'm also getting some honey in there too. So it's interesting. It's and a little bit of that kind of dankness, but it's more of like, it's not like the, it's not like a huge dankiness, just a little bit. It's almost like a, but the, I think mealy is like the first kind of, it's more of like the mouthfeel and a little bit of the leftover kind of stickiness or whatever from the mouthfeel. So it's not leaving it like extra dry and sharp and bitter in the aftertaste. It's more, it's almost mushy. It's weird.
Like peach, like, is it like fleshy almost? Like,
no, it's, I don't know. It's mealy is like the only thing I could think of that to compare it to. It doesn't have like that bite or that punch.
Okay.
Really?
Like when you say mealy, I think of like a baking apple.
Well, like more mealy. Of like just an overripe.
Yeah, overripe apple. Fruit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But not specifically an apple. It's more of like the, I don't know, it's weird. It's like the texture or the mouthfeel or, you know. So, I mean, it's interesting. And I did spend, I think it was $11.99. Was it $11.99 or $10.99 for a 4-pack?
Oof.
So I think that might weigh in on my final rating. It usually might have something.
When a 4-pack is over $11, it gets you an automatic two pint rating here on the Beer Coasters podcast.
And then you add on above that? It's already has 2 pints before
like,
you even
like,
opened
no,
it?
No, like it, that's it. 2 pints, that's it. Oh. Like, like no more, no less. So,
all right. Yeah.
See, if the public speaks and says that this is a 2-pint beer, then maybe they'll listen and they'll drop their prices.
I hope
probably
so.
Not. Probably not. But
so that's your strategy. Okay, I get it now.
Something like that. All right.
All right. I like it.
Let's and I.
So everybody needs to jump on that Sculpin bandwagon then. 2 pints for Sculpin. Do it. I hate seeing $16 a 6-pack.
Dude, I gotta say that. Like, I was looking to pick up the Shark Week beer this was before I picked up these beers for the show, and I saw, you know what? I'll pick up a Sculpin, and I almost grabbed one. It was $16.99 for a 6-pack.
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me. Like,
I saw it at, I forget where I was. It was kind of like a place that I wouldn't normally buy beer, but I saw it and it was $12.99, and I was like, oh, I should get, was it a gas station? I was like, oh, I should get it because
they're,
I've never
they're
seen
giving
it, this
it away.
Cheap. But then I'm like, nope, $12.99. It's still too expensive. They're practically giving it away. Yeah. So I went with a deuce of the Hop Stupid from Lagunitas for $5. So I was like, dude,
you can't go wrong. Shout out Lagunitas, instant shout out.
Instant shout out to Firestone Walker also, because the Union Jack, which is even better than the Hop Stupid, was also $4.99.
I see, I'm partial to the Hop Stupid, but
yeah. Oh, I love Hop Union Stupid. Jack don't is get good. Me wrong. But Union Jack is pretty awesome.
We are sailing off course here, buddy. We need to get back on the course here. So
we've got a shark to track.
The one thing I should say too, that on the finish, this almost has like a kind of like a champagne dryness to it, like a lot of bubbles, crisp on the finish. I don't know if I mentioned that before. The kind of follows suit with the tartness. It doesn't really linger. It, you know, it's kind of that blood orange tartness, good balance with the hops, and then on the finish, dry, and you want to just kind of go back in and take another sip. So,
what would you pair with your flesh and blood?
Flesh and blood with the pungent kind of citrusy aroma and taste, I'd probably go with like a summer salad. Pick something like some grilled chicken, maybe something with some like maybe orange wedges in the salad, like a light vinaigrette or something, so you can kind of have that sweetness with the tartness. I think that would play very well with each other. Maybe some blue cheese crumbles on that, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
Something like that.
I think blue cheese would actually go. I'm not a big blue cheese fan. I can take it in very little, little bits, like crumbles on top, or like on a cheeseburger or something, you know, some little crumbles on a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Like a bacon cheeseburger with blue cheese. I can handle it then, but just like, I don't know, it gets to be too much for me. But I think a little bit might actually go well with this beer, with the romantic chemistry. But I don't know. I'm it's kind of on the lighter, well, I wouldn't say lighter side, but I'm thinking a cheeseburger might be too much. But I think, yeah, something maybe light and fruity also might work with this. I might stick with the apple side and maybe just do, like, I don't know, cheese and apple slices, you know?
Maybe some cheese, some apple, some blue cheese.
Yeah.
Some fruit. Yeah, there you go.
I don't want to piggyback all the, you know, the entire time on your summer fruit salad, but...
Listen, there's room on the boat, buddy, you know? And this is the first time I think you've paired it with not a sandwich. So that's you know, good on you.
Wait a minute. I'll take those and I'll put them in between. No.
Blue cheese and apple sandwich.
Okay. And peanut butter. Never mind.
All right. Untapped for the Flesh and Blood IPA out of 12,017 check-ins. We don't do check-ins, we do ratings. Out of 9,461 ratings, this ranks in at a 3.9. And popular locations to drink this, the Dogfish Head Craft Brewery in Milton, Delaware, the Gnarly Barley in Pine Castle, Florida, and the Flying Saucer Drought Emporium in San Antonio, Texas. That sounds awesome. How about you, sir?
The romantic chemistry from Dogfish Head on Untapped comes in at a 3.81 out of 60,201 ratings.
Ooh.
And that was added back in January.
Wow.
But I thought they said it was a summer. Maybe that was yours I was looking at. It was a summer one. Either way. Top three popular locations on Untapped is the Medici in Normal, Illinois. The Carwin Cellars in Thornbury, Victoria. And the Brewhouse Grill in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas' premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles. You can even get growler fills. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with two locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler. And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Alrighty, what's up everybody? This is Toby in San Diego, California. And for my local shark beer, I'm drinking... Once again, Lost Coast Brewing Company. This time, it's their Sharkinator. Sharkinator.
Is that a robot
this
shark?
This is a white.
It's like a robot shark.
Yeah, it's a robot shark.
Like Terminator and Sharkinator. Like in Shark.
Yes, this is a white IPA. Comes in at 40 IBUs. It's 4.8% ABV, so pretty low, but I guess that's pretty normal. Beer.
White IPA.
It uses, they dry hop it with Cascade, Crystal, Chinook, and Citra. Oh, well, and they call it a session IPA.
An IPA and how many IBUs?
It's 40.
Okay.
So yeah, it says IPA on the bottle, and their website says it's a session IPA, but it's a white IPA, so you'd think that it's got maybe some Belgian yeast in there, right?
Yeah.
They don't say anything about Belgian yeast on their website, so... Hey. Well, this is probably a follow-up of their Great White, which is a wit beer. For sure. So this is it. Probably just a hoppier version of the the Great White. So I'm gonna crack it. And I'm gonna put it in the glass.
In the glass.
Lost Coast Brewing Company is from Eureka, California. Their website is lostcoast.com. I have been to Eureka, but I have not been to the Lost Coast Brewery.
Hmm.
But next time I'm in Northern California, I will definitely swing by. I'm a fan of Lost Coast.
I'm trying to think if I've ever had Lost Coast.
We don't. Downtown Brown is probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, brown ale.
Okay.
Their Winter Brawn is good. It's a like a winter warmer type beer. It's actually really good. And it's another one of theirs that I
the,
like.
The 8-Ball Stout would have been great for our
yes,
for the our you know season 8 episode.
I did the 8-Ball.
Oh, you did
the season 8. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
That was our last episode. Was the 8-Ball, and that's a pretty solid stout. So on the pour, it's cloudy, but it's more of like particulates cloudy, and it's a pale yellow, very pale yellow color. It's like straw, I guess, straw color.
Yeah.
I started out with like a normal human finger of head. Now it's down to like a quarter finger of head, sustaining very well. Some decent carbonation happening. I get some citrusy. I get a little bit of grapefruit. I get some grassiness on the nose. I get a little bit of lemony, some lemon kind of citrusiness. Yeah, lemon, grapefruit.
Yeah,
that's it.
I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but you know, when you mentioned Cascade, Crystal, Chinook, and Citra hops, like all those characteristics that you just mentioned are probably all, you know, depending on the hop, you know, a grassy hop. Like, I know Citra has a tendency to have like lemon qualities. Cascade has kind of a fruitier quality. Maybe that's the grapefruit that you're getting, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, lemony for sure. Yeah. All right. Taking a sip. Cheers.
Good luck.
This one has a nice zip to it. It has a kind of a lemony, zesty zip. Very grassy and kind of earthy. I get the maltiness in the back end, kind of a really doughy, malty. I'm not really See, now I start to think of like clove and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm not really getting clove. But then once I thought of clove, because I'm thinking of like, well, if this is a wit beer, I should be expecting a little bit of banana, a little bit of clove.
But it's a white IPA, so it's not really a wit beer.
Well, if it's a white IPA, shouldn't it be like a hoppy wit beer? Like a hoppy... That's kind of what I've experienced before, is that they take a Belgian wit and then they overhop it and call it a... white IPA, or I'm not remembering it. I mean, it's been a while since I've had a white IPA, but that's what I always thought it was just like a Belgian wit with lots of extra hops in it.
Yeah, but, they say Sharknader is their great white taken to the next level by dry hopping it with all those hops. So okay, so to your point, yeah. So maybe it is that wit beer kind of base. But because they dry hop it with the four different kinds of hops, I wonder if they changed the malt bill at all. I mean,
if they
just hopped a wit beer, then it would be a wit beer. But they're calling it a white IPA.
Yeah, the Great White comes in at the same ABV, and it uses 2-row malted barley, unmalted wheat, and a secret blend of Humboldt herbs and crystal clear mountain water. So if this is, I mean, they do say that this is like the big, hip, big brother of Great White. So I'm just guessing that they take Great White and dry hop it with the Cascade, Crystal, Chinook, and Citra. So, yeah, I mean, they don't say anything. It's just an ale yeast, so it's not anything specifically a Belgian. But I guess it's the type of malts that they're using that they throw in there. Straw color, but I mean, it is definitely lighter than your typical wheat beer. But yeah, I don't know. Either I'm wrong or they're wrong.
It's interesting. I wonder.
But they're the brewers, like, so so you know. We'll leave it up for debate.
What
on Twitter?
What makes,
we'll leave it up to Twitter to decide.
Twitter poll.
Yeah.
No, I just never knew, like, if what's a white, like a white IPA, I always consider like a different style altogether. Even though it's, they're calling it like the big brother or the hip brother of their wit beer. I mean, they got to change it up a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
To make it considered like an IPA with, you know,
right,
maybe wit beer qualities. I don't know.
Hmm. I mean, it's good. It's it's refreshing. It is definitely something that it would be good in the summertime. This would actually be really good in the can to take to the park or to the beach or something like that. I do like how not sticky it is, because sometimes when you get into those wheat beers, although wheat beers tend to, this is something I was always somewhat confused about, is that wheat beers are typically a warmer weather type of beer. But I never really thought, I mean, they are refreshing, but I never thought of them as like something that would like quench your thirst. You know what I mean? They're not like, I don't know, they always seem to be more doughy and sticky and on that.
I guess, but if you're going to have those like lemon qualities from like the Citra or whatever is giving it that quality, maybe lemon peel or what, orange peel, I don't know what they put in there, but then you get that refreshing quality.
Yeah. But this would be good in warmer weather. It's great right now. Food pairing, I think this would go good with
how about like chicken kebab?
Yeah, lighter fare, chicken, like barbecued chicken, I think would be good. And no, I don't mean barbecue sauce. I mean just like grilled chicken.
Okay.
Lighter fare, maybe like a grilled chicken salad or something like that. But I think this would go good at like a cookout, you know, with either seafood or actually I had a crab sandwich today that was really good, and I think this would probably go sorry dude, sandwich. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna stick with that. I'm gonna go with a crab sandwich.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, man. It's all good.
Yep.
What's a crab sandwich? Is that like a soft shell? Is that what that is?
Well, the one that I had today was Dungeness.
Okay.
It was so, whatever, it was market fresh.
So it's like a salad kind of thing,
like crab salad. It's just shredded up, you know, crab meat, and they put it in with like a. It's not tartar sauce. It's like another. The place that I went kind of has their own little tartar sauce type of blend, and they just it's like a crab salad, and then they throw it in between some sourdough.
There's a place around here that does soft shell crab like sandwiches. So they just like put the big like they. Deep fry the crab, put it between two pieces of bread, and you go to town.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Kind of interesting. It's good, though. A little intimidating, but it's not for the faint of heart.
Let me
but
get
neither
you
is the show of Shark Week.
That's right. We have to keep it. We have to keep everybody in suspense, right?
That's right.
Sharkinator on Untappd. Comes in at a 3.5 out of 15,463 ratings. Not bad, not bad.
Wow.
Popular locations to untap this beer is the Lost Coast Brewery in Eureka, California, Draft Republic in San Diego, California, and then again, the Lost Coast Brewery in Eureka, California.
Again.
Twice. Number one and number three. I'll throw in number four there. Blue Monkey Sports Restaurant in Catasauqua, Pennsylvania.
The old Blue Monkey. Yeah,
yeah, no, the old I've Blue Monkey Sports Restaurant in Catasauqua, Pennsylvania.
Nice. All right, well, there's a bit of a problem, my friend.
No problems.
There is a problem. My glass is empty.
Oh, yes. That's a huge problem.
Huge problem. But you can probably see the etching. Can you see the etching? No, there's foam on the bottom. You can't really see it. Take my word for it. There's etching.
Yeah.
But it's time to crush it like Captain Quint with a little Narragansett Lager.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, up next, from Hartford, Connecticut, tasting his beer right here on the Beer Coasters Podcast, we've got the very talented, let's give it up for Tony Leone. Yes.
Welcome back to our Shark Week episode. I am Beer Coaster Tony. Come on board. We are drinking the Narragansett, the old Narragansett lager beer. You're thinking, what's so nautical and sharky about that, Tone? Well, I'm glad you asked. This was actually enjoyed. It says, you're lucky enough to be holding a genuine, collectible, limited edition, retro Gansett lager can. And if you watch Jaws, Captain Quint slams down one of these beers and crushes it. So hashtag crush it like Quint, all right, when you're drinking one of these. So this little shout out to the 1975 vintage can. They put this out in 2015 for the 40th anniversary of Jaws, which came out in 1975. It is a lager beer, as I had previously mentioned. It's from Narragansett Brewing Company. Narragansett Beer. What are they?
Narragansett Beer.
There it is. Narragansett Beer. From Narragansett, Rhode Island, I'm assuming. I clearly did my research before this happened. Oh, Pawtucket, Rhode Island. I apologize.
Oh, Pawtucket.
The old Pawtucket. Their website is narragansettbeer.com. This is a beer. The ABV is 5.0, 12 IBUs, classic American lager, and the workhorse of the Gansett stable, they say. Available all year long in bottle, can, and on tap! ! They brew their lager with six-row malt, a secret blend of Pacific Northwest hops, corn from Iowa.
Secret blend.
Corn from Iowa, their lager strain, the same one the brewery has depended on since just after Prohibition, and the purest water from Lakes Ontario and Hemlock.
Wow.
There you go. There's a little history for you. Received the bronze medal of the American lagers at the 2008 World Beer Cup, 2010 gold medal winner in the lager category at the 14th annual Great International Beer and Cider Competition in Providence, Rhode Island, and a bronze medal winner in the 2010 World Beer Championship, silver medal in the 2011 World Beer Championship, gold medal in the 16th annual Great International Beer and Cider Competition in Providence as well in 2012. I think it's going to be pretty good. It was first brewed by the original six back in 1890. What? Oh. Wait. Lager is old. Oh, the lager is old reliable. The recipe, the first beer of this recipe was brewed by the original six, they call themselves, back in 1890. The best-selling beer in New England from the 1930s to the 1970s. And the official beer. The official beer of. Well, you can sleep on this one because this is boring. Official beer of the Boston Red Sox. From
Oh yeah, I was gonna mention
1944 to 1975. But I mean, whatever.
Once Jaws came out, the Bostonians were like, we don't want anything to do with Gansett anymore.
We're good.
So it's cracking
it. It's in the can. And I'm gonna put it in the glass. Even though I should be drinking it from the can.
I mean, that's what Quint did, right? He drank a lot of those from the can.
He did.
From what I understand.
And I'm inside my house, so I will not be crushing it like Quint, unfortunately. So.
Oh, come on.
Use your imagination.
You got to do it.
There it is. There it is.
There you go.
Crush it like Quint.
Nice.
Boom.
Hashtag.
Hashtag crush it like Quint. That's it. All right. On the
now, he actually did. I don't think he got drunk off of Narragansett, but he did get drunk during the filming.
Did he really?
Like the scene, yeah, the scene where he's sitting, they're inside the cabin and he's like singing some, I mean, he sings a bunch of like sailor songs throughout the movie, but the one where they're inside the cabin and he's drunk, he actually did get drunk. I think he drank, I don't know what he was drinking, it was like whiskey or something like that, but.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they had to cut out a couple parts of that scene because he was too drunk.
That's in the outtakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth the price of the DVD. All right, so you got the ingredients. You got all. I got it. I gave you everything. I gave you like a whole history of what's going on. So let's just look at the beer and talk about it. So on the pour, it's got some nice pillowy head there. You can see that. It's about half a human finger of head. Frothy, kind of sticking around. Decent lacing along the outside of the glass. Very clear. I can almost see right through it. You know, the beer kind of warmed up just a little bit while it was sitting here, so there's no chill haze. This is very clear. I can see right through it. Decent carbonation. Again, that laser etching in the bottom of the glass is triggering a lot of bubbles right in the center there, which is kind of cool. On the nose, yeah, that corny corn kind of sweetness.
Corny. Corny sweetness.
Little, I don't know if it's the if danky is the word, but just that lagery, metallic kind of smell.
I think you hit it with corny.
Yeah. Damn adjuncts.
What is it? Iowa corn?
Iowa corn.
Some yeah. Huskers? Oh, that's Nebraska.
Yeah. And the head is more or less dissipated altogether now. Yeah, just that kind of corn. That lager strain, you can get that the smell. That's very unique. A little metallic-y. To the captain.
Cheers.
To the captain.
Taking a sip, yeah.
This is one of those classic examples of. Now here I am. I'm hyped up about the beer. I just read about a page and a half of credits. You know, between 2008 World Championship and 2012 and all the stuff, and it's the official beer of, you know, some baseball team in Boston. You know, it's
got you all excited.
Got me all worked up. You know, but it's one of these beers that I'd love to just see this compared to other macro beers. Like what other macro lager style beers? Like is it going to be that different? Because I've read all that. I feel like I'm kind of expecting it to be a good beer. And I'm drinking it, and you know, normally, now the six pack was like $6. I mean, normally most people would kind of just shy away from the Narragansett Lager, but it's good. It's got that little bit of like grainy sweetness. It's got kind of a crispness to it. You know, there's really nothing crazy about it. There's kind of a clean finish. Nothing really, like I said, nothing too complex about the beer. Grainy sweetness, like you get that little bit of, I think, corn sweetness too. I mean, there's no, I can understand why the captain would want to crush a couple of these on set.
Yeah.
It's a solid beer. Very, very well done to the style. Again, I'd love to try and like, let's compare this to other different like lager style beers and see if this stands out as one of the better ones. I feel like I'm a little bit partial right now because of everything that I just read, but I like it. It's, if you're looking for something that's going to, nothing too offensive, you want to just kind of throw back a few beers, you know, grab a 30 rack and I mean, I would grab this over, you know, a 30 of something else that's macro. It's, you know, Narragansett. Is Narragansett macro? Would you even call them that? No, they're local.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's only really the only really macro guys in the game are, you know, Coors, Miller, and Bud, right?
Yeah, I think that technically that's who you would consider macro. I mean, even Pabst, I think, might be still considered macro.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what about Boston? Or, sorry, Sam Adams. You know, I mean, they're cranking them out.
But they're nowhere near as macro. I mean, I know there's like the line, the gap between macro and micro is still huge. You know, these guys are just dominating the industry.
They're not doing 100 million barrels or whatever.
So I would love to kind of compare this with the other guys. But yeah, I would say if you're looking to go to a party and you want to grab something that you don't know who's going to be there, or you don't know, you're going to play some games, you're going to throw some, you know, some poker, some cards.
Or if you're going to go on a fishing trip.
Going on a fishing trip. Maybe if you're going, I don't know, catching a great white shark. This is perfect beer for that.
This is the type of beer that I'm hoping people who like Budweiser and Miller and all those macro ones that we're talking about, this is the type of beer that I hope that they're buying and saying, oh yeah, I mean, I grew up drinking, you know, Olympia, or I grew up drinking Schlitz or whatever.
Old Milwaukee,
and they go, hey, but I just found these guys and they're local. You know, I found them at the store and it's not too much more expensive. It might be like a dollar more a six pack, or it might be, you know, $5 more a 30 pack.
Mm.
But hey, it's local and I like the style. That's with these type of beers. Like, I mean, I'm not a huge lager guy. I do.
Yeah, me neither.
I can respect lagers when they're well made and they're, you know, even if you find a lager that's made by a local guy, a small microbrewery or craft brewery, and they do a lager, if it's not good, then it's not good. But that's what I'm hoping that people who like lagers or grew up drinking lagers, grew up drinking the macro beers, this is what I hope that they're drinking. Because look, I know lagers are hard to brew, and especially for a small brewer, and they actually have a lager in their lineup, I'm hoping that you're drinking those ones.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. I mean, this is one of those things that you want to, it's going to be the style that you wouldn't normally, like the people that are used to drinking those macro styles, I would like to see them go for something like the Narragansett line.
Yeah.
Like this.
They shouldn't be afraid of something like this, you know, because it's not familiar. They still shouldn't. It's like, dude, it's a lager and that's what you drink.
Yeah.
So at least you'd be drinking something that's well crafted. They're using good hops. They're using good corn or whatever. It's small batch.
Yeah.
Smaller than. Anyway.
Be fun to do.
That's my soapbox for the day.
It'd be fun to do a blind tasting with this.
Yeah, it would. Get like three
different lagers. What kind of macro would you put with this? Like, what's a
what kind would you put with it?
Well, because the Bud Light is like Pilsner, so you wouldn't compare something like that.
No, and I would go. I wouldn't go with a light. I would stick with, you know, straight Coors or straight Budweiser or what do they
like
call it now?
Coors Original. America. Is that Coors Original? Is that a
yeah? Just Coors. Just straight up Coors.
Coors. Coors.
Coors.
Coors.
Coors.
Coors.
Just not Coors Light.
The banquet beer. Yeah. Banquet beer.
Or like, I don't know, Michelob.
Is that a lager?
Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a Pilsner? You got to find like those. Those are what you compare, and then you see what you like. You know, cause that I think would be fun to do.
I personally prefer Pilsner over lager. Something about the Pilsner yeast I like better than the lager. I think it's a little sweeter.
Okay.
I think that's how the Pilsners turn out. They're a little bit on the sweeter side, less metallic-y.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's what I find with a lot of different lagers. Even like homebrew kinds that I've tried. They have to be really clean, really crisp for that lager kind of taste to... I don't know. I feel like it's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
But like I said, this is very unoffensive beer that you can have, and you can pair with like a lot of different things. Speaking of pairings, I'm going to say I would pair this with... you know what? I'm going to pair this with some shark tacos. Nice. You know? Get some fish tacos with... I had some awesome fish tacos from this place in, I think it's Ludlow, Massachusetts, Mission, I think it was called. Fish tacos with some, like, kind of like a chipotle mayo, I think might have been in the mix there. Some with a little crunch. I think it might have been some sort of like a fruity salsa maybe going on in there. Very... You know, like maybe some coleslaw, maybe something like something that's going to give it a little like texture. That was awesome. So some shark tacos with the old Narragansett lager. That's what I'm going with.
There's a spot here in San Diego, in Ocean Beach, called South Beach. So I think it used to be a biker bar back in the day, but now it's more of like a surfer joint or something. But they have shark tacos there, and they're pretty bomb.
Yeah. I don't think I've actually ever had a shark taco, to be honest. I've had shark meat, but I've never had shark tacos. But I'm on a fish taco kick lately, so
nice.
I'll have to look around. Not a lot of fish tacos in Connecticut.
You gotta come out to San Diego if you want some fish tacos.
Hey, careful what you wish for. I'll show up.
Alright.
An untapped.
That's not a threat, bro. Is that a threat? That's not a threat.
No?
Is that? Hell no.
Alright. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. It's going to happen.
Hey, I'll be out in New England, even though Mike says that you're not in New England. But I'll be out there in the fall of 2017.
Connecticut is part of New England, in case anyone was curious. I don't know how many viewers we have right now, but Connecticut is part of New England. Okay, Boston Magazine.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Sorry.
That was an angry shout-out.
That was an anti-shout-out. The call-out. It's a joke. They actually, and he was good to it. He backed up his word. Basically, the guy did a piece on, I forget his name, but he did a piece on top 25 places to visit in New England by state, and he showed a map, and everything was like, beep, boop, beep, boop, and everything was like, around Connecticut. Like, what the heck? Like, there's New England. Like, there's not one place in Connecticut that you have in your list of 25 places or whatever it was to visit. And he got blown up on Twitter, and he apologized, and he goes, you know, I there's an oversight by the editor. And he came down actually to a place right around the corner and ended up coming down and making good on his, you know, he apologized, and you know, we had a couple of beers and it was good. So shout out to that guy for, nice. For knowing when he was wrong. So all good.
Nice.
So shout out Boston Magazine. Untapped.
That's all you get.
That's it. That's all it. Narragansett Brewing Company, the Narragansett Lager, is out of 38,187 ratings, this clocks in at a 3.03.
Not too bad, I guess.
Popular locations are the Paramount in Charlottesville, Virginia. Man. Fenway Park in Boston, Massachusetts.
Hey, maybe it's still the official.
Whatever. And then this place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania called Spirit. Okay. And... All right. The fourth place is Hot Rods Cafe in New London, Connecticut. So, gotta get the new...
Hot Rods. You been there?
I have not.
Oh.
I have not.
That's surprising.
Yeah, New London is far from where I am right now, so... It's a good haul.
How far is far when you're in Connecticut?
You know what? It's probably a solid, like, I want to say hour or so. And when when you're an hour away and you have a couple beers, you don't want to be an hour away.
No.
You want to be closer. So, yeah, there you have it. The Narragansett Lager from the Narragansett Brewing Company in Pawtucket.
Yeah. Right?
Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
_VCXIII says, traded Kim for beer me wings last night. I hate my life. Crying emoticon.
Tweet of the week, yeah.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Last call.
All right.
Here we are.
Ratings.
Toby, you had the romantic chemistry.
I did.
From the Dr. Shed Brewing Company.
I did and I do.
You just want to just pour a little glass of romantic chemistry and maybe some blue cheese crumbles and some apple slices and just have a nice night with a wife and just have some romantic chemistry.
And watch Shark Week.
And watch some sharks eating people.
Okay, now that it's warmed up significantly, it's on the nose. I'm getting like almost barley wine type aromas. I'm even getting kind of the perfuminess is still there, so it's really strong. With the perfuminess, and I'm starting to get a little bit of a raisiny, dark fruitiness. It's almost like an alcohol kind of heat on the nose. What's the ABV? What did I say?
Seven.
7.2. Not too bad. I mean, if you're looking for an IPA, this is not. It's different.
I was think it more like fruit dominant than it was, like you said, grassy tones, but like
still getting some of the grassiness. The fruitiness is still there, but as it's warming up now, it's starting to turn more toward, and I still get the mealiness is still there, so it's more like an overripe fruitiness. It's not super sweet. There is a dryness in there too, and it has a kind of a little bit of a bitterness, like a dry bitterness in there.
Yep.
But it's very different for an IPA.
Sounds it.
I already untapped it and gave it a rating on Untappd, which I don't do very often while we're recording the show, but I gave it a 2.5.
Ooh.
On Untappd, and I think I'm going to... I kind of want to go with a 3, but the fact that they charge so much for a 4-pack, and maybe it was just the place that I went to, maybe it was just the bottle shop that I went to, but it was the only place in San Diego that had this beer.
I'm not saying that, you know, I don't know where the fault lies. Maybe it is just that expensive, but you know, there is, people do price gouge every now and again.
Yeah. So I mean, it could have been the place that I got it from. And it could be the fact that I'm all the way across the country, so that could play into how much it costs. But
you're probably gonna pay like, you know, you'll probably pay $10 for a 4-pack around here.
Still, I don't think it's worth that much, like $10 a 4-pack for this. So it's not bad. It's not a bad beer. It's not what I really look for in an IPA. It's a little different, but you know, it's got mango and apricot and ginger, even though I didn't get any of the ginger.
Okay.
So maybe I'll bump it up to a 3. No, I'm gonna stick with 2.5. I won't get this again.
Stick to your guns.
I'm not really gonna recommend it to anybody, so yeah, I'll stick with a 2.5. So it's a little on the disappointing side, especially for the price.
I will say I was fortunate enough to actually only buy the single of the Flesh and Blood Dogfish Flesh and Blood IPA. And that was, I want to say that was like 2-something for a single. So, you know, it would add up. If I had a 4-pack.
That's not too bad.
You know, maybe, it might have been 3-something. So, I probably would have spent, like I said, 4-packs for Dogfish are probably around $10 around here, for the most part. But you brought up a point about, like, the, away from the prices, you said, like, I wouldn't call this an IPA. And I feel like what was good about this beer is that I think that it had maybe that hot presence that paired well with the tart blood orange and like the lemon flesh that they used in the beer. It was balanced. That was good. I don't think this would have been as good. I think it would have been like too fruit dominant if it was like a pale ale or a different style. So the fact that it was an IPA is good, but when I get an IPA, if I want an IPA, I want something that is going to have that. I want something that's going to be maybe a little bitter. Maybe something that's a little more like fruity, like citrusy, piney. Yeah.
You want that bite. You want that mouthfeel. You want...
And the bite you get is the tartness of the blood orange. You don't get that from the IPA angle. So if you're looking for an IPA, I wouldn't get this. But if you're looking for something that's refreshing and mildly tart that you're going to enjoy during like a, you know, during a hot day, then yeah, I would totally get it. But then again, you know, if you're going to be buying some beers for a group of people or you're going to have them like in the afternoon, you know, if you're going to drop $12 on a 4-pack, then there's other options out there. So careful on the pricing. But if you can get it for like not too much and you want to try it, absolutely grab one, grab a single or a 4-pack if you can get it for a good price.
But
I'm gonna give this a 3. I gave it a little higher rating on Untappd, but it's, and a 3 is not bad. Like 3 is, you know, above average. I think it would be a good beer to have on a hot day, but it's the new Dogfish. It's going to be a little bit more expensive, and I know that if I go to the store and I see 4-pack of this for, say, it's $11.99 or even $10, and I see a 6-pack for $10.99, I'm gonna get the 6-pack. I'm not gonna spend, you know, the same price and get 4-pack.
Well, I mean, I know Dogfish is doing different things. I know that they're using different ingredients. I know that their brewing process is a little bit more involved. So the price, yes. But either they're doing something really right or they're doing something wrong, because some of the times, and Mike, I think Mike, shout out to Beer Coaster Mike, but I think he'll agree with me that it's a lot of times with Dogfish beers, it's hit or miss. It's not like, yeah, I'll get this again because it's good, but it's not awesome. There's certain beers that Dogfish does really well, and they knock it out of the park. And then there's other ones where you're just like, what the hell am I drinking? This is just too weird, and it's not... So I don't know if it's just the ingredients that they're choosing, and they're so experimental, and those guys have a different kind of palate, and they're just like, check this out. We're doing ancient stuff. We're taking crazy ingredients, and we're making it work. But like 60 Minute, okay, 60 Minute is awesome. That's a great IPA. 90 Minute, great double 60, IPA.
90, yeah.
But when you get a 6-pack out here in San Diego, now I don't know, I can't remember offhand, but I want to say a 6-pack of 60 Minute is around like $12. You know, over $10 for sure. And I'm like, okay, that's a good beer, but I'm in San Diego.
There's other options.
I mean, IPAs, good IPAs, are a dime a dozen. I mean, I could go anywhere and get a knockout IPA for way less. So why am I going to... And I like Dogfish. I love 60 Minute. I love 90 Minute. But I'm not ready to, like... At this point, I'm not ready to spend that kind of money. So it's interesting that it could be the distributors or whatever, however that plays into price point when you like
sure.
going into a new market or somewhere.
And they're coming, like you said, they're coming all the way from, like, they're in Milton, Delaware.
Yeah.
And they're making their way to San Diego. Like, they may tack on another dollar, you know?
Right.
So that's understandable. But, yeah, you know, and you brought up a point, too, and I won't harp on it. But, yeah, just one of the things that Dogfish does is that they have a couple of beers and they try a lot of new things. And, like, shout out to them for, like, going for it and trying new things. But,
yeah,
let me tell you. And I'll give you one example of the Tehinket, where they used what they call dom fruit, which is an Egyptian fruit. And I'm not sure. I don't have any ingredients in front of me, but let me tell you. I bought that beer at a New Year's Eve party a couple years ago, thinking, here I am. Like, people kind of know me as, like, a beer guy. I'm going to show up to this party. I'm going to have a bottle of this.
I've got a reputation.
I got street cred. I got rep. And I roll in, and I'm ready to go. I'm like, hey, guys, you know, thanks for having us, blah, blah, blah. Crack open the beer. And a pungent smell of tuna fish entered the room.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I was thinking, holy cow, like, what is this? And I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's just, like, kind of, like, a little stinky. Maybe it's, like, that, like, kind of that funky, maybe Pilsner smell. And let's just let it, like, breathe a little bit. Poured into some glasses. We cheersed it. And it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And I can probably count on one hand the amount of beers that I've dumped. And I immediately apologized to everybody, said, please don't drink this. This is ridiculous. Everyone, like, took a sip, and they're like, nope. And everyone dumped it, and I dumped the bottle. And totally threw it away. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I bought another bottle about a couple weeks later. Same thing. A couple weeks after that, there was a Dogfish Tap takeover at a local place. And I saw it on draft. I'm like, oops. Like, it was like a nemesis. You son of a bitch. Like, I'm going to try this. So I'm like, you know what? Let's see if it tastes different on draft.
Yeah.
Night and day difference. Refreshing, light, airy. Had that, like, kind of like straw, like hay quality. Almost like farmhousey. And I feel like that's what they went for. And I don't know if it just didn't work in the bottle. But night and day difference. So
I'm thinking the same thing about the Romantic Chemistry. If I were to have this on draft, I'm pretty sure it would be different, and I might actually like it a lot better on draft. And that, maybe that's the thing, coming from all the way across the country, yeah. You know,
bottles, heat, maybe something happens in, like, keg. They're a little bit more, you know,
yeah,
the style. So anywho,
yeah. All right.
So there's a Dogfish line, and then you had the Lost Nation. Lost Coast, Sharknator.
Yeah. Sharknator from Lost Coast. White IPA. It's good. It's refreshing. It's very drinkable. Super drinkable. I mean, it's under 5%. I can't remember what it was. I think it's 4.8%. And I mean, it would be good in the can. It would be. It's great on a hot day. I would get this again. I got a six pack of it. So, and Lost Coast is usually pretty reasonably priced. So I'm gonna give it a 3.5 out of 5. I like it.
All right.
It's not super impressive, but. You know, it's good. There's nothing offensive about it. It's super drinkable. So, and nice and clean. And so, yeah, 3.5.
The one that I had was the Narragansett Lager. That was kind of an original style. Apparently, originally brewed back in 1890. And definitely one that I would have overlooked 10 out of 10 times. I would not buy this beer. But if I'm going to play some cards, you know what? Like, a six-pack for $6? Absolutely. You know, like, why not? Shoot. Like, if I'm going to play cards with, like, a bunch of friends, like, I might grab a 30-rack for this, or, you know, 12 or 18, so I can, you know, it's going to cost me $20 to buy, like, 18 beers. Like, why not? You know? Not only that, but I'm not just saying, like, the quantity, but I'm saying it's not a bad beer. It's a quality beer, lager. As I mentioned earlier, it won a bunch of awards. And it's not going to be one that you're going to want to even, you know, I pour it into a glass, but you don't really need to like pour it into a glass and like look at the color and like smell it and see how it's doing and check out the ingredients. Like, yeah, just drink it. Crush it like Quint. Play some cards, you know, hunt some sharks, whatever you're doing that day. It's a decent beer. So, but that being said, it is so plain. It is such a plain beer. Like, I can't, when I think of, you know, 3.5, even 4, and up, that beer needs to get my attention somehow. Oh man, like Session IPA, it's a really good usage of like Citra hops or Cascades or Centennial. It's just there's nothing bad about this beer, but there's nothing really outstanding about it as well. So I'm gonna give it a 2.5, just because it's right in the middle. It's a solid beer. It's nothing bad. It's not great, but you're looking for something to drink that is solid ingredients that won clearly a bunch of awards, you know? I would 2.5, you know, you can pair this with a bunch of things. It's summertime right now, or maybe it's fall time right now, depending on when you listen to this. And you can pair this with a lot of different foods. And you brought up the point too earlier, Tobe. If, you know, a lot of guys or a lot of people that would be drinking the macro styles, this would be a good beer for them to try because it's got, I feel like, more flavor. And that's what might kind of make them turn the corner about trying new things and trying things that actually taste good and not just drinking things that they grew up drinking.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week.
You just want to just pour a little glass of romantic chemistry and maybe some blue cheese crumbles and some apple slices and just have a nice night with a wife and just have some romantic chemistry.